All right, welcome to the first session of Howl's Get Together. We are talking about Zarathustra, very difficult to say, starts with a Z. Zarathustra, and we can get some pens working, and maybe we can edit a little bit in here. Zarathustra. Let's see if we got a. Let's share a number. Yeah. Zarathustra. Share. And that's what should be on the screen. And we should be able to edit that. I don't know why I can't see the edits. Okay, here we are. Okay, here we are. And get some pens working. Need an add to it. Okay, Zarathustra. Okay. We are. Let's get a pen. To it in green. So, Zarathustra. That's what we're looking at. And Zarathustra, who was he? Let's look at who he was first. And that means we're going to go back to the number two and talk about Zarathustra, and we'll use we can use a highlighter on this one. Yes, we use a yellow highlighter. So we're talking about Zarathustra. Yes. Zarathustra was conceived, and thus spoke Zarathustra. That's, I mean, it's the whole thing. Thus spoke Zarathustra. It was basically, and we'll underline that. Thus spoke Zarathustra. Underline. Was conceived and written by Friedrich Nietzsche. And we're going to talk about him a little bit, not a lot. The focus is not on Nietzsche, but we need to talk a little bit about him. Nietzsche was the author of the text of Zarathustra. And he conceived it was written by Nietzsche during the years 1881 to 1885, so about 4 years. It was written in three parts. Written in three parts and was published in 1883 and 1884. He was a German philosopher. He was a German philosopher and culture critic whose work is exerted a powerful influence on modern intellectual history. So we're talking about modern intellectual history. The book formed part of his campaign against morality. That means this desire, or at least belief in right and wrong and good and bad. Nietzsche explored the ethical consequences of the death of God. What impact this would have on society? What impact would this notion that God is dead, this idea or belief or this faith that God is dead would have on the world, on society as a whole? He was heavily critical of Christian values, and he sought some kind of replacement for Christian values, or in many cases, the notion of God in general, which had to do with more than Christian values. It had to do with any belief system that tied the notion of a supreme being to the word God, or in fact, a belief in that there's some power out there in the world that created the world and was pulling the strings that controls life and death. He wanted to replace the notion of God with what he called, I can't pronounce the German word, Umerstuss, something like that. Maybe I can get a pronunciation of it. It's a German word. I can look it up. Let's translate it. It means Overman. So when we look at the translation, it means Superman. So when you start talking about replacing the German word Übermensch, the word means Superman, as we looked at our translator. The concept of Superman is an ideal human, not a god, but an ideal human who would redeem the rest of humanity. Why does humanity need redeeming? Because the notion of the fear, really, it's not a notion, the fear of death permeates society, permeates the world, permeates, and going all the way back to prehistoric days, this notion that we have to die and that life has a terminal or a term ending and we have to die. So that's the whole notion that we're dealing with here. And he wrote in one of the chapters, chapter 20 of his dissertation or writings on Zarathustra. Zarathustra, again, was you can pronounce it Zoroaster as well. You also can pronounce it from the religion Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism was a religion 2,500 years ago, and Zoroaster or Zarathustra was the primary god of that a particular belief system, just like Jesus is of Christianity, Buddha is of Buddhism, Lao Tse, Lai Tzu, Confucius, all the various mystics of which birth or created or developed this particular belief system. So Zarathustra is who we're taking a look at, one of the writings of Friedrich Nietzsche. And then, of course, the real coup de grace, real thing that he focused on more than anything else, was the death of God. And that's the notion that we'll basically try to focus on as we go through our reading. Let's go down now and look at where we are going to focus most of our attention today. And that's going to be, let's see, we're going to focus most of our attention. Let me go back to it again today. And we're going to focus on Zarathustra's writing, or again, Friedrich Nietzsche's writing on Zarathustra in chapter 20 of his book, which is readily available if you want to do the research and look at it in its actual print. So first we have the writings, sacred writings, or you could consider it scripture, of Zarathustra, and then you have a translation from the sacred writings, which was probably in Sanskrit, by Friedrich Nietzsche. And then what we're looking at is a extrapolation from Zarathustra's writing, which was translated by Friedrich Nietzsche using aphorisms. And then we see how the Osho, which is another Eastern mystic, translated this further, or at least he took what Nietzsche wrote, aphorisms, and then he elaborated on those aphorisms. And so we'll begin to examine the actual words themselves as part of the reading. Let's begin. And you can see, as you can see on the screen, Zarathustra. Let's make sure where we are here. Oh yeah, we are on screen one. We're in the It begins by saying, Zarathustra has returned to the mountains, where he lives a solitary existence. That means he lived alone. He lived in the mountains, and he lived a solitary existence. He lived alone. And then, for many years, and then one morning, he has a dream. He has a dream. And this dream, vision, becomes an opportunity for him to look at how his life has been and what he's been doing. We know it's been solitary. We know it was in the mountains. And we know he's been there for a long period of time. And then all of a sudden, he wakes up. And he decides, when they say full of resolve, he was full of resolve. That means that I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something different. And then overcoming his desire, his resolve, filled with new resolve. Let's not forget that. It was a new resolve, a new resolve. And an overwhelming desire. So all of a sudden, Zarathustra wakes up from this dream, and he's filled with resolve, a new resolve, and an overwhelming desire to share his words with his friends. And that's where I'm at right now. It's overwhelming desire to share my views of Nietzsche's concept of the death of God. And I, like Zarathustra, have an overwhelming, it's new, a new resolve and an overwhelming desire to share my words with my friends. And here's what here's what Zarathustra said first. He starts by saying, behold what Abundance is around us, and clearly in the Western society, in America, in where I live, in the country of the United States, especially here in the North Slope of Alaska for me, what abundance is around us, around me. Not so much here in the North Slope as far as natural abundance, but snow, ice, and oil, to be example. And oil is, of course, black gold. So abundance is around me, for sure. And then Zarathustra says, it is fine to gaze out upon the distant shore, seas. So I certainly can look out on the Chukchi Sea, which is right outside of my window, and from the midst of superfluity. This is a good, interesting word, superfluity. I think I'll highlight that because I'm going to come back to it. Superfluity. We want to look that word up. Superfluity. I guess we could look it up very quickly by going back up to screen two and highlighting the word superfluity. Really looking it up. What is superfluity? Let me see if I can highlight it and look it up. Let's search for it. We know the synonym excess, extra, plenty, surplus, flood, accumulation, over an abundance. So in the midst of plenty, so we'll call it plenty, more than plenty, superfluity. Let's look it up just for the record. We search for it and we take a look at what the dictionary says, a condition of going or being beyond what is needed, desired, or appropriate. Really is an overabundance is what it really boils down to. Let's go back to back to our PDF. So he says, in the midst of an overabundance, so he says he wakes up from his dream and he has this resolve, this new resolve. He wakes up from his dream and he has this new resolve, that he's going to do something different. And it's overwhelming. He has an overwhelming desire to share. And this keeps cropping up in my own experience, this overwhelming desire to share and to make a difference in other people's life. And all of a sudden I look around me and I say, yeah, well, I have plenty. I have an abundance. I have an overabundance in the midst of superfluity, overwhelming abundance. And I like this word, superfluity, because that's certainly I can say. Now, that don't mean I'm rich. That don't mean I have billions of dollars, millions of dollars in the bank or anything like that, or even, but I certainly have a superfluity, more than what I need. And again, Zarathustra looks, he once you said God, when you gaze up into the sky, he said, once you said God, he looks around and it's fine to gaze out upon distant shores from the midst of plenty. Then he says, once you said God, when you gazed up into the sky, and God made all this possible. When you're looking up in the distant shores, it's because of God that this superfluity exists. It's because of God when I gaze up into the sky and see what this abundance is in my life, it's because I'm blessed. It's because I've received the blessings of God. But now, Nietzsche or Zarathustra is going, coming back to the word, says, I'm going to teach you a new word. And now I have taught you the new word is Superman. Another way of saying it is OBE. R. Oberlin, Oberman, Oberman, M. A. N. Oberman. It's another way of looking at it. Superman. Now we could pull up Oberman and look at some images of Oberman. You'll get an idea of what he's talking about. Notice all of the different views of Oberman. Oberman. This is the very Superman are rented, but they're all different kinds of Oberman. These are the different views of Oberman. And take your pick of these different views. We'll get back to our. So, as you can see, when he says Superman, and most of us who've seen the comic strips and seen the TV series or seen the Marvel movies now, that talks about Superman. Remember, Superman is supposed to be this superhuman individual that redeems society. Redeem us from what? Redeem us from this notion that this superabundance, that this superfluity result from a notion of God, that this whole notion comes from God. And he's going to make the case that that's just a supposition. And of course, what does he mean when he says supposition? We'll take another look at that too. We'll go back to number two, and we will stroll up here and look up the word supposition. Supposition. What is a supposition? Well, supposition is an uncertain belief. A supposition is the idea that something, the idea of a position, a belief. A supposition is that it's an unbelief, or God is a unbelief or an uncertain belief. Even though we say it, we don't believe it. And of course, going back to our number one screen, again, God is a supposition, an un what is called an uncertain belief, even though we say we believe in it, even though we say we have faith in it, in this quote, God notion, as expressed through Jesus Christ, as expressed through the Holy Trinity, as expressed through Buddha, as expressed through all kinds of denominations, and as expressed through Catholicism, as expressed through Islam, many, many living religions of the world. But Zarathustra is making the case that it's all a supposition. It's all an unbelief. It doesn't really mean that you really believe it, but you say it, you claim it. He says, but I want your supposition. I want your supposing. In other words, you're supposing there exists God. You're supposing God exists. And he's saying that you can't prove it. There's nothing you can do to prove that God is real, God exists. That is all based on faith. It's based on a supposition, a claim. But it's an uncertain claim. There's no factual evidence to support it. But he says, I want you, your supposing, to reach no further than your creating will. Now, we're going to get to this discussion about creating will. You know, we know it has two words in it. If you divide it up, creating and will, that means we have the ability to create, and we can direct that creation towards something. We brought this arrow, whatever that something might be. And he's making the case, Zarathustra is making the case, that you could create based on the supposition, based on this uncertain belief, you could create almost anything, and you can call it God. Now, of course, this shatters a lot of people's belief system, but it's based on faith. You can't prove it, but he's saying that if you keep on supposing, you can suppose anything. And he wants you to suppose your supposing to reach no further than your creating will. Can you create the notion of God? Could you create a God? He's saying you could, but would it be real? It still would be a supposition. So he's saying, so be silent about all these gods, because there's no such thing. It's a supposition. It's an uncertain belief. You can say it, but it's just not true because you can't prove it. Even though you have sacred scriptures to support it, like the Bible, for example, is just one, and there are many, many others, and there are many, many other living religions, and they all seem to have their founder, and they all seem to have their sacred scriptures to go with them. You can, he says, you be silent because it's all a supposition. But he's saying, you could, he say, surely create the Superman. That means you can create a will. You can, your willpower can utilize your talents, mind, body, and soul, and you can direct that will to create something that can help redeem humanity, or at least contribute to the redemption of humanity. Why does humanity need redeeming? Clearly they need redeeming from this notion that there exists something out there that controls. It's a supposition, and it's as good as any, but it's an uncertain belief. It's not real. You can't prove it. But you can, according to Zarathustra, you can create the Superman, the Overman. You can create that. Then he says, perhaps not you yourselves, my brothers, but you could, you and me, we could transform ourselves or transform yourself into forefathers and ancestors of the Superman, meaning that if we start now developing the idea, and that idea moves beyond a supposition into a fact, we can create whatever it is that we're trying to make happen or trying to become a part of reality. Now, we've got millions of examples. But just take technology as a example of a creating will, and how the concept of a Superman, the technology, a telephone, just a cell phone, is an example that we will leave for our ancestors and they can keep improving them. He says, let this be your finest creating. Well, in other words, what we leave behind for others. Now he makes the astounding statement here. This is a real astounding statement. I'm going to change color pens on it. I'm going to change it to red. I'm going to change my pen to red. He says, God is a supposition. God is a supposition. Well, we said it earlier. He's an uncertain belief. But he says, I want your supposing, because that's all we're doing, supposing, to be bounded by conceivability. In other words, he's saying, it's just talk unless you can prove it. You can conceive it, but it's only in your imagination. It's not real. No matter how many sacred documents you have, you know, you can't go back and prove, even in the material world, the notion of God, no matter what the religion is, no matter what the belief system is, you can't prove it. Could you conceive of a God? He says. Could you conceive a God? Yeah. But made a will to truth. Now, this is what he's saying. In other words, if you look at it, the will to truth, that means using all your God-given empirical deduction mind, body, information, knowledge, the will to truth, to prove it in a laboratory, perhaps. But may the will to truth mean this to you. What should it mean? He said, that everything shall be transformed into the humanly conceivable. So this goes all the way back to, okay, is it conceivable or not? Let's do everything we can to prove it. Let's prove it. And if we can't prove it, if we can't make it humanly evident, humanly palpable, you should follow your senses even to the end. That means our empirical ability to deduce in the material world the fact that God does exist. And we know we can't. As much as we like to believe, much as we want to, you know, make our supposition a proposition, and that proposition a reality, there's no way we can do it. We can talk about it. We can believe in it. We can live by it. We can swear by it. But at the end of the day, it's not real. Then Zarathustra goes on to say, and you yourself should create what you have hitherto called the world. So he's telling you that you can create the world that you want. If you can create a God, you can create a world in your imagination. And whatever you create, you can call it what you have hitherto called the world. He says, and you yourselves should create what you have hitherto called the world. The world should be formed in your image, by your reason, by your will, and by your love, and it will be to your happiness. That's what he said. That means we should leave the idea of what makes up the world to our own conceivability. We should be able to conceive what makes up the world to our own conceivability, our own purpose, our own reason. Then he goes on to say, but to reveal my heart entirely to you, he goes on to say, if there were gods, how could I not be one? How could I endure not to be a god? In other words, if the supposition that I believe in, this uncertain belief, but let's just say I can prove it, why wouldn't I be one of those gods? Why wouldn't I have the power myself that I'm giving to some entity out there? Why does it have to be out there? Why can't it be in here? And he's saying, I'd be one. He said, therefore, there are, as far as he's concerned, no gods. There are no gods. I indeed drew that conclusion. But now it draws me. I got to go on the other side of it. God is a supposition. He comes right back. God is a supposition. It's a belief. It's an uncertain belief at that. But who could imbibe, who could regurgitate or imbibe, take in all the anguish of this supposition without dying? In other words, believing it to the end, even though there's no proof that it exists. Shall the creator be robbed of his faith? And the eagle of soaring into the heights, this is very poetic. The creator be robbed of his faith. In other words, the fact that we believe in God and all of a sudden there is no God, or we believe that there is no God, or we can't prove that there is a God, it's not conceivable. He's saying all of a sudden the world comes to a stop after 2,000 years of believing something. The world is robbed of this belief system. And that eagle that was soaring in the sky based on that belief, that eagle stops flying, is brought to a halt, is brought down. Now he's making a claim here. He says, I call it evil, this notion of God. And again, we get to this word, misanthropic, misanthropic, evil or misanthropic. Let's take a look at that word, misanthropic. We'll go up here to our desk two, and we'll look at the word misanthropic. Okay, let's see. Here it is. Let's see what it means. Misanthropic. All right. Misanthropic, disliking humankind or avoiding human society. That means it's not human. Misanthropic. Hatred, dislike, distrust, or contempt of human beings. Not liking humanity. Misanthropic. So we come back to misanthropic. All this teaching about the one and the perfect and the unmoved and the sufficient and the intransitory. But the best images and parables should speak of the time and becoming. They should be a eulogy and a justification for all of this timelessness, all this feeling sufferings, all feeling suffers in me and is in prison. But again, poetically, but my willing always comes to me as my liberator. In other words, I come back to this notion that I have a will and that I can create the Superman, the person that is, in short, that has the ability to transform things that can be useful, things that can be used, things that can make the world. Then he goes on to say, come to me as my liberator and bringer of joy. Willing liberates. Willing liberates. Now, this is a pretty interesting statement. He says that willing is what liberates. That means the ability to use my senses to bring into reality, to conceive, but and to bring into reality that which I conceive. He said that liberates me from this notion that there's a power somewhere that's magically bringing things into being. Then he says, if I want to be free, and if I want to use my will, he says, that is the true doctrine of will and freedom. Thus, teach us, Zarathustra. A pretty powerful rendition. And we're going to get to, and notice the title is On the Blissful Islands. So we're going to get into now what Osha talks about. Let's read through Zarathustra's reading once more. Zarathustra has returned to the mountains where he lives a solitary existence for many years. Until one morning he has a dream. Filled with new resolve and an overwhelming desire to share his words with his friends, Zarathustra speaks thus. He says, behold, what abundance is around us. And it is fine to gaze out upon the distant seas from the mist of superfluity. Once you said God when you gazed upon distant shores, but now I have taught you to say Superman or Overman. God is a supposition, but I want your supposing to reach no further than your creating will. Could you create a God? To be silent about all gods? But you could surely create the Superman. Perhaps not you yourself, my brothers, but you could transform yourselves into forefathers and ancestors of the Superman, and let this be your finest creation or creating. God is a supposition, but I want your supposing to be bounded by conceivability. Could you conceive a God? But may the will of truth mean this to you, that everything shall be transformed into the humanly conceivable, the humanly evident, the humanly palpable. You should follow your own senses. And you yourself should create what you have hitherto called the world. The world should be formed in your image, by your reason, by your will, and by your love. And truly it will be your happiness, you enlightened men. But to reveal my heart entirely to you, friends, if there were gods, how could I endure not to be a god? Therefore, there are no gods. I indeed drew that conclusion, but now it draws me. God, again, is a supposition. But who could imbibe all the anguish of this supposition without dying? Shall the creator be robbed of his faith and the eagle of his soaring into the heights? I call it evil and misanthropic. All this teaching about the one and the perfect and the unmoved and the sufficient and the intransitory. But the best images and parables should speak of time and becoming. They should be a eulogy and a justification for all transitoriness, transitionalness. All feeling suffers in me and is in prison. But my willing always comes to me as my liberator and bringer of joy. Willing liberates. That is the true doctrine of will and freedom. Thus, Zarathustra teaches you. That's the reading we're going to be exploring next week in much more detail in our reading of Osha. Osha does the same thing. Osha takes us a little bit deeper. What we're going to do is we're going to go to the whiteboard and when we go to the whiteboard, we're going to break it down. We're going to start with the little stick man I like to use. And then I always like to say, this is a human person. Let's give them a mouth, eyes, and a nose. If we want to make it a woman, we'll make it a half woman on this side. Make it a man on this side. So we split him right down the middle. So this is a genderless person. And we're saying that this person has a body that exists in time and space. Body. And it has a mind that exists in time and space. That means it's material, we can prove it. Go into a laboratory, we can break it down. And of course, the mind exists within the brain. And we know that the person has a brain, that's why it functions. But we think that there is something else. There is something else that's internal to that person. And we call it, most of us call it a heart. Let's put a little heart here. All right, now Zarathustra is saying that this notion that there's something out here that controls everything that goes on with this person in space and time. And we call it, and we change our color again. Well, let's change it to the purple, because that's more unlikely. We call it God. And Zarathustra is saying, no, this is not, you can't prove this. As much as you lack, he's saying that as much as you like to prove this, it's not conceivable. That is just a supposition. God. Is, let me see. Well, under that, let's go back to our pen. Where's the pen? Oh, here it is. We're saying that God is God is a supposition. We're supposing that God exists. Can't be proven, but it's a belief that God exists. Supper, SITION. Supposition. This notion of God is a supposition. It's not real. It's a belief. Why? Because it can't be proven. No matter what we read or hear or talk about, it can't be proven. It's all based on belief. And it's an uncertain belief at that. And he's saying, on the other side of this equation, his will. And he's saying that you can take this will, which also, let's go back to our pen, is within you. Both it's in your mind and in your heart. And of course, we're saying that he's saying that you can harness this will, which is contained within you, and you can create, just like you can create the supposition of God. He's saying that you can not only create a supposition of an overman or Superman, all it is, all we're talking about is the creation of a man or the person that utilizes his will. And we know the world is full of the will being utilized in this way. Or again, we'll call it, we'll stay with Superman. We like this notion anyway. And we're saying that this Superman, put it in quotes, this Superman can transform this body through will, this mind through will, and this heart or spirit, this self, this inner self, can transform this inner self through will. And this person, this individual, can utilize that will, because this is inconceivable, even though it's imaginable, and it's certainly based on belief. But will can create the Superman. All it simply means is harnessing the will to turn the, using the inner self to turn this life into what we want it to be. And that puts the responsibility on us to become who we intend, who we intend to be. So it turns the notion of to be or not to be on its head. To becomes will. So you take the word to be. The question still is asked, to be, question mark. But the to be is governed not by some power somewhere else up here, but the to be is governed by our will. And the not to be is the application of that will. That's what equals the Superman. And Zarathustra is saying that we all have that ability. We all have that opportunity within us. Of course, provided we're not handicapped, mentally ill, and even the handicapped has proven that they can overcome utilizing the will to power, to move from supposition to conceivability to reality. Now, this notion, and more importantly, as important, but to be is life itself or the world. So the to be, let's change this color to green. To be creates. Go back up here. To be creates the world. So to be creates the world based on will. So the conceivability is anchored in the will. So this inner self is what needs to be uncovered and discovered. We know that we can accumulate a lot of information and knowledge in the body, in the brain, in the body. We also know that our heart has a mind of its own, where our emotions are generally stored. But we're also saying our emotions plus our heart, our emotions our emotions plus our heart anchored in the body can use the power of will to become who we want to become, for the most part. Now, of course, there are limitations within limitations of the brain power that either is inherited or learned from others. Well, that's going to do it for this week's lesson. We'll come back to it on our next week. We'll stop sharing now, and glad you could